Great to see you all here this morning. Christmas Day is fast approaching. Just 20 sleeps. That's it, 20 sleeps. As of yesterday, 3 weeks. So three even sounds less than 20, doesn't it? Fast approaching. On Christmas Day, we focus on the gift of Jesus given for us. And leading up to Christmas, for many, we wrap up gifts and we give those to one another as an expression of our love. Today we come to the final words from Paul that, in a sense, wrap up all that has come before, his thoughts and desires for the church at Colossae. Our culture, Western culture, elevates self above all else. I began to put in the words "our culture" into Google, and the first things that came up were our future, our pride, our identity. And then I put in self, and we see self-esteem, self-fulfillment, self-actualization, self-determination, and then this one, self-serving bias. Interesting term, isn't it? Self-serving bias. Our culture promotes a bias towards self, to finding our identity, and our pride is in what we can do, what we can achieve, ourself. Our culture projects the idea that everyone else should be serving me, fulfilling my wants, self-serving. And so, when it comes to what we were talking about last week, or what Kate was sharing with us last week, submission, that can be a real problem. Real problem for us. It goes against all of our cultural norms, and we understand it from a negative context. For many, we just don't like the word submit, submission. However, as Kate reminded us last week, in the Bible, we're encouraged to be submissive, to submit to one another. And I've continued to think it over this week. I think that submission needs to be thought of in a different way. It needs to be, we need to see it in the light of servanthood. We need to see submission in the light of servanthood. As servants of God, we are meant to be servants of God. Submission then is less about receiving whatever might come our way rather than giving. It's all about giving. Viewed from a position of servanthood, biblical submission means that we allow ourselves to come under the influence of another in order that we might serve them, serve their best interests, serve their needs, to influence them, all for the glory of God. And so as we consider Jesus, as he came to earth in submission to the Father's will, he did all in order to bring glory to the Father. And he also came to submit himself to us, to our needs, to our best, which meant that he was prepared to sacrifice himself for us. Can we sacrifice ourselves, our hopes, our desires, for the best interests of one another? Can we submit to the needs of one another, the best interests of one another, the well-being of one another? Husbands submit themselves to the needs of their wives. Wives submit to their husbands. Children submit to their parents, as do parents submit themselves to the best interests and the needs of their children. Submission is really about serving, about giving, about loving. Coming under the influence of somebody else so that we might influence them for the glory of God. And so submission is a positive, very much a positive thing. And so we come today to four verses that draw Paul's thoughts together and to a close. And what a fantastic little letter this letter of Colossians is. If we look back over the last few weeks, and if we take them in reverse, it is happening up on the screen. I wasn't sure, because there's nothing happening back there. That's all good. If we take it in reverse, if we are to be submissive, if we are to develop the fruit of the Spirit, if we are to put off the old nature, if we are to keep our minds set on things above, the best way to do that is to devote ourselves to prayer. In wrapping it up, as it were, all of these previous thoughts, Paul says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. He then says, and pray for us too, that God may open up a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the message of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I might proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. Prayer and thankfulness are again so naturally paired together for Paul. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. In chapter 1, Paul mentions that he, along with Timothy and others, pray for the church at Colossae. Verse 3, we always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. And now at the close of this letter, he asks them to be devoted to prayer and to include them in their prayers. For Paul, prayer and thankfulness are just intertwined. I mentioned 2 weeks ago Paul's emphasis on thanksgiving. He calls us to be giving joyful thanks to the Father, overflowing with thankfulness. Be thankful. Give thanks to God the Father through him. And here at the close of the letter, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. So often with Paul, we see prayer and thanksgiving go hand in hand, almost as though you can't have one without the other. But I draw us back to the context of this letter. As Paul says, if we are to keep our minds set on things above, if we're to put off the old nature, if we're to grow in the fruit of the Spirit, if we are to be submissive to one another, then this all happens best through prayer. So devote yourselves to prayer. God has said, draw near to me and I will draw near to you. Through prayer, God communes with our spirit. And he teaches us how to be submissive, how to cultivate his fruit, how to put off the old nature, how to set our minds on things above. As we commune with him in prayer, he speaks with us. His spirit connects with our spirit. God encourages us on the pathway to transformation when we're involved in him in prayer. And so prayer obviously means so much more than bringing to him our requests or our shopping list. I wonder how many of us come to God in prayer and that's all we do. It's almost by rote every day. The same list, the shopping list. This is what I want, God. Prayer means listening to God as much as talking to him. I think that's why we have 2 ears and 1 mouth. I wonder whether one of the most overlooked and forgotten elements of prayer is taking time to listen to him. To listen. And you know very well the story of what happened on the Mount of Transfiguration. A voice was heard from heaven that said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I love. Listen to him." And my mind goes directly to Peter. Peter was keen to talk. He's keen to build altars of worship. And could God have been saying, stop all your talking, Peter. Listen to him. Listen to him and go on listening to him, Peter. Could God be saying the same thing to us this morning? In prayer, listen. Give God time to speak. Listen for his voice. Sense his spirit prompting your spirit. And then following Jesus' resurrection, you recall that he joins with the two disciples. They're on the road to Emmaus and they're lost in their grief and their disappointment. And Jesus speaks with them and he opens up the scriptures to them. And later, what do they say? They say, didn't our hearts burn within us when he talked with us on the road? When in prayer we give God time to speak with us, I think our response is often the same. Our spirit is lifted and encouraged. Our heart too may burn within us because we've had that sense that God is speaking. We've heard his voice. We've sensed his prompting and we're encouraged on the pathway to transformation. So devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. Devote yourselves to prayer. Let prayer not be a 5-minute rush job. Let prayer not be a tack on to the activities at the end of the day. Let your attitude be one of prayer. Talking with the Lord, aware of his presence with you throughout the day, be watchful and thankful. Then Paul says, and pray for us too. Pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. May God open the doors for witness. May we share the gospel clearly and take every opportunity that God gives us. That was the general gist of Paul's prayer request to them. And interestingly, Paul's not requesting prayer that he be released from prison, for which he's unjustly held in chains. Instead, he sees this as a part of God's plan. God's will asks that they pray that opportunities be given for him to share the gospel. He said in chapter 1, 24, that he rejoices in his suffering. Why? For the sake of the gospel. Because the proclamation of the gospel was of the greatest importance to Paul. Sharing Christ was what drove Paul. Not self-interest or well-being, not his own comfort, not his freedom. He didn't call for justice. He didn't call for the abolition of slavery. If you look back just a couple of verses, he says, slaves, submit to your masters. He's not saying we need to abolish slavery. Rather, that every opportunity be taken to Christianize the cultural practices of the day, whatever they might be. And so I wonder at times about our dogged pursuit of certain things whilst we let the sharing of the gospel go unattended. We fight for our freedom and we fight for justice, but do we fight for the gospel? Is it because we're more concerned about self? We too elevate self above everything else. Our freedom, our comfort, our justice. Or is it the fear of being rejected? Or do we think that people in Australia are generally disinterested in spiritual things? So we avoid sharing our faith. Is it a combination of all of the above? And so I want to encourage you this morning. A recent study by McCrindle Institute here in Australia has shown that 75% of Australians think the churches do or are making a positive difference in their community. 75% of Aussies appreciate the church. And since COVID, studies also show that almost 50% of Australians are now thinking more about the meaning of life and their own mortality than they were before or prior COVID. 50% are now thinking more about their own mortality than they were before. 90% of Australians believe that we should have the freedom to share our religious beliefs if done in a peaceful way. So Aussies still support the notion of freedom and having a fair go. Aussies aren't against freedom of speech. There might be a sector, and maybe that's the media, that pushes back against Christianity, but the mainstream of Australians are warm toward Christianity. So in the community, there is an acceptance of Christianity, there's an appreciation of the church, and more people are now contemplating the meaning of life and what comes after death. 55% of Aussies talk about spiritual things at least occasionally. Dale Stevenson from Crossway Church in Melbourne says that the hardest ground in Australia is found between the ears of Christians. Much less so for non-believers. So can we pray for ourselves and pray for one another that God may open up doors of opportunity for us to clearly proclaim the mystery of Christ? You see, as Christians being transformed into the image of God, that means that people see God's character within us. They see his image, they see the fruit of the Holy Spirit within us, and they want it. People are open to spiritual things. People are interested when we share what Jesus has done for us. People around us are interested to explore. And again, Crossway Church has found that 7 in every 10, as they've approached people, non-Christians, as they've approached them, 7 out of 10 non-believer will agree to read the Bible with someone when asked. How simple to ask someone, would you like to read the Bible with me? And then not to preach, but let God's word speak. Let him speak through his word. It's a simple thing to do. And so we can be encouraged to pray, to look for opportunities to share our faith. Australia is relatively fertile ground. I'm glad I picked up on that. Australia is fertile ground. Paul then concludes his general instructions to the church in verses 5 to 6. Be wise in the way that you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. As we ask for opportunities to share the gospel, let's also be wise in what we do, and endeavouring to be gracious as we speak. Salt not only adds flavour, but it preserves that which is good. Let your speech always be gracious. Paul says in Ephesians, let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only that which is good for building up. And it fits the occasion that it may give grace to those who hear. Such a challenge, isn't it? To be gracious in what we say all the time. To be thankful in all circumstances. To submit to one another. that this is what living in the image of God means, being transformed to be like him. We began today thinking about the promotion of self and how countercultural Christianity is. The elevation of self is a constant battle that we need to be pushing back on because it's wanting to infiltrate us. Interestingly enough, I came across a recent study that was looking into the basis for healthy self-esteem. And what is it that leads to healthy self-worth or self-respect? The long-term held position was that if we can fulfill or meet our own personal values, then we will have a good self-esteem. We'll have a good feeling about ourselves. So fulfilling our values leads to a healthy self-esteem. However, a study of 5,000 people from 19 different countries, very different cultures all around the world, has showed that healthy self-esteem was built not upon one's own values, but upon meeting the values of those around us, meeting the values of those in our community. We feel good about ourselves when we have a sense that we have fulfilled other people's values. So who you hang out with is very important. And who you are to others and the values that you hold is also important to them. Submission and serving others and the Lord then is vital to our well-being. Submission to the Lord and to others is vital to our well-being. So although our culture promotes a bias towards self, to finding our identity and our pride in one's own achievements projects the idea that everyone else should be serving me, we find that this ploy from Satan is simply a lie. And it leaves us unfulfilled, always wanting more. God's way of humility, submission, and service is always best. And instead, we have the healthiest self-esteem when we have a sense that we are meeting God's values. When we understand who we are in Christ, that we take our identity from who we are in him and we seek to please God. And so we're encouraged to devote ourselves to prayer, to take our lead from God, from him, from his values. Devote ourselves to prayer and being thankful. Encouraged to pray for opportunities to share our faith and to be gracious as we submit to one another. Why? All for the glory of God. What a wonderful letter I think this has been. I encourage you to read it again and reread it again and again. And ponder it. Take time over it. Be encouraged to spend time with God in prayer, in his word, allowing him to speak and lead you on your pathway to transformation, your pathway to submission, your pathway to faithful sharing of your faith. Let's do that right now. Let's pray. Gracious and loving Heavenly Father, again we thank you for the way that you transform us. We thank you that prayer is just one of those avenues through which you seek to transform us. You seek to change us. You seek to speak to us. Father, help us to take time when we do come to you in prayer to allow you time to speak. Help us to align our spirits with yours, I guess, to help us to be sensitive to your Holy Spirit, that we might hear your voice or sense your prompting, that our hearts might burn within us because you are speaking with us, And we thank you for your gentleness, the way that you always are gentle with us and you seek to transform us. But Lord, help us too to look for ways to which we might share our faith. Help us to pray for ourselves and to pray for one another, that we might see and really just take hold of the opportunities that you bring for us. And Lord, thank you for your Spirit and the way that you can just continue to encourage us. So we give you all the praise and the thanks as we just so much appreciate your word. We thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.